Welcome to the Living Myth Podcast with Michael Mead, where this shifting, changing world is looked at through a mythic perspective. This episode begins with a Native American story of the origin of healing rituals. In telling the tale, Mead emphasizes a remarkable point in the story when knowledge, healing, and songs all enter the world at the same time. Having established the importance of healing songs, Mead introduces an excerpt from Mosaic's new recording, A Song is a Road. The podcast concludes with a chorus singing a song of praise and gratitude to the healing energy of the earth.
There's an old proverb that says, "Darkness and night are the mothers of thought." Humans have been looking out into the darkness of night since the beginning of time. And now modern scientists studying the darkness and the light of stars find themselves having the thought that looking at the stars is not simply looking at light that's coming from a great distance, it's also looking back into the past, so that the darkness holds the light of the stars that leads us all the way back to the origins of the world. Not surprisingly, the study of mythology reveals many origin stories in which the ancient people or the ancestors were looking out into the darkness of night, and in some cases received not just thoughts, but also songs, and even the inspiration for making healing ceremonies. There's an old Native American story that appears amongst several tribes. The tale begins right after the earth has been formed, and the creator at that moment is called the one who made the earth. And the story says at that point, the one who made the earth shaped people and placed them on the solid ground that had just been formed. And those first people, of course, found themselves in a specific place. Everyone subsequently who has been born into this world is also born into a specific place. And then it turns out that those first people were not comfortable where they began. They didn't rest well, and they didn't have any big dreams. And so the one who made the earth spoke to them directly because it was close to the beginning, and therefore the divine was closer to the people that had been created by the divine energy. And so the one who made the earth spoke to them and said, "If you're not satisfied there, if you're not comfortable there, gather your things and go somewhere else." And so the first people packed up and left. And that began the first journey in the world. And ever since then, people have been journeying from one place to the other. In this world, you could say, the grass is always greener somewhere. And at the same time, there's no place like home. It remains the plight of all of humanity to feel the call to wander, but also the desire to settle down somewhere. Eventually, the first people settled somewhere. They found a place. They settled down. They began to sleep well, and they began to have big dreams. And so they knew that that was the place to call home and the place to remain. And then things seemed to be going in a good way. Everything was fine, except for one thing. It then happened that two of those first people became ill. They fell sick, and they began to waste away, getting weaker and weaker each day. And the other people didn't do anything about it. For at that time, no one knew what sickness was, and certainly no one knew anything about healing. So the two that were sick began to waste away, losing their vitality, moving closer towards death. And then it happened that four of those first people went out at dusk when the darkness was beginning to swallow all the light of the world. And those four began to look directly into the darkness. And then the one who made the earth spoke to them, saying, "Listen, everything on this earth has the power to cause its own kind of sickness and or make its own kind of trouble. That's the way of it on this earth. But it is also true that for each illness the earth has a cure, and for each kind of trouble on earth there is a remedy to be found. And the person who first heard those words now had an understanding that knowledge was available on the earth and that healing was also a possibility. And we could say that the possibility of healing began at the same time that the awareness of knowledge entered the world. Healing and knowledge began together, and they remained connected unto this time. Knowing the nature of the illness is the first part of curing it, and being willing to face the darkness and the unknown at the edge of human awareness is the first step in learning anything. The one who had received this knowledge about healing shared it with the others who had stood and stared into the darkness. And once they all understood that a cure was possible, they went out and faced the darkness at the end of each day. And then it happened that each night one of them received a song. The song came spontaneously, and people asked afterwards, "Did the song come into you from outside, or did it arise within you?" And the answer is yes, it came from both places, as if the one who made the earth was inspiring them from within at the same time as delivering inspiration from the outside. The next time those four went out to face the darkness again, the one who made the earth said, "Why don't you go to those sick people and sing for them and say words over them and help make them well?" So the four seekers of knowledge from the dark went back to the village, and they brought all the sick people right to the center of the first village, and they invited everyone to join them. And in that way, the sickness and the trouble of some became the issues for everyone, and soon healing became central to life. Those four began to sing the songs that had come to them from the edges of darkness. And they began to speak and play rhythms until the sick ones were restored and became able to join the dance of life again. Then everyone in the village joined in the song and dance, as if some new vitality had entered all of them, as if curing those who had fallen ill also brought a greater vitality and deeper well-being to everyone else. This healing was a new kind of knowledge. And after that, whenever anyone fell ill or lost their way, they would be brought to the center where everyone would gather around them. And rather than having the ill and the troubled people be isolated somewhere, they were in the midst of everyone. And then the trouble would be made clear. And then those who had knowledge would begin speaking and singing and playing music while everyone else paid attention to the sick ones. That was the beginning of healing ceremonies. It was also the inception of useful knowledge that made it possible for everyone to come together and made it possible to dispel that which could otherwise isolate some and eventually separate everyone. Like the first people, we can also feel compelled to look out into the darkness. And we are also the inheritors of their knowledge, and of the natural instincts for healing whatever troubles might come to us. The notion that anything in this world can cause sickness or trouble certainly still holds true. Some might say that it is more true now than at any other time. To be alive at the end of an era means to be caught in a growing darkness that troubles the sleep of almost everyone. The issues of resting well and having meaningful dreams have returned to us with a vengeance. The darkness around us seems to grow deeper each day, and people suffer forms of collective anxiety and fear, as if any of us or all of us need to be put in the center of the village and have songs sung to us and have healing words spoken to us. And have ourselves placed in the midst of a story that talks about healing and curing all that goes wrong. For the ancient people, being put in the center of the community was the same as being held in the center of the cosmos. Bringing those in trouble to the center could also bring them back to the origins of life. Symbolically, the troubled soul will be brought back to the place where its invisible umbilical cord could be reconnected to the source of all of life. Since the beginning harbors all the potentials, the sick one could draw upon the potency of the beginning in order to start life over again. Healing was not simply a medical situation, but also an opportunity for a greater renewal of life for the whole community. Seen in this way, the illness of one person becomes the ailment through which all that ails a community can be addressed. The wound in one person can become the door through which everyone can find the center of life again. Thus, the afflicted one becomes sacred, and the opportunity for everyone to commune with the origins of life occurs through sickness or through loss or through trouble. At the center, the original flow of energies, ideas, and images can return to life. In a sense, that's what's happening to the modern scientists now, as they look back through the light of the stars trying to find the beginning, as if intuitively understanding that touching the beginning might help us begin again. But the important thing here is how the story shows how the ancestors did not simply receive thoughts or ideas from the darkness, but also songs and understanding of healing. And that from that combination of song and music, of knowledge and healing, they were able to create a center that healed those that were sick and at the same time brought everyone together at the center that then makes the potentials of the beginning possible again. It's no accident that the story says that the first people received songs when they went searching for knowledge and when they needed methods of healing. For the ancient people understood, and some scientists are learning again, that this world does not begin with the word. It begins with the sound, that the sound continues to reverberate and resonate throughout the world as creation continues to this moment. This story of how healing ceremonies began is the tale I used to end the book that I titled, Why the World Doesn't End. There are so many theories now of how the world could end. But the ancient people, and maybe eventually the modern people looking into the darkness and through the light of stars, might realize we are secretly connected to the origins and the beginning, and because of that, the world doesn't end. But also, to bring as clearly as possible into view this idea that there's a cure for each illness, there's a remedy for each trouble, and that we can find our way back into the healing ceremonies and healing rituals. For me, living myth means that we are still living with the myths, in a way living in the myths, and in a way the myths are living in us. And particularly this story about the origin of healing rituals has been a core myth for Mosaic, our nonprofit, through which we try to do community building and healing work. And in that work, we have used songs as a way of bringing everyone together, but also as a way of bringing healing to those who are most profoundly injured or most profoundly excluded from culture. Recently, for the first time, we recorded some of those songs, along with narratives that explain where the songs come from and how we use them, because we have had so many requests from people saying, how do we do ceremonies? How do we make rituals? How do we live in this mythic place where healing can occur, where beauty can return, and even where new ideas can be formulated? So now that we've recorded some of these songs, it seems appropriate to share them. And what's going to follow here is a song called Azima from the Dogara tribe in Burkina Faso in West Africa. is a song in praise of the earth. It's a song that reminds us we are the earthlings, that the earth is the center of the universe for us. And when we can connect to that center, we can tap into the resources of the center, which are all the potentials that were there at the beginning of the world. The song is called Azima, Praise to the Earth, and the Z in the middle, Z-I, means star. It's a song about the stars. It's a song about the star we live on. It's a song about how we can find healing and knowledge and beauty right here on Earth. Azima, woe, Azima, woe, Azima, woe, Azima, woe, Azima, woe, Azima, woe. Azima. Near as I can tell, Azima is a reference to the earth, and the song is trying to say praise to the earth, Azima, gratitude to the earth for all the earth gives to us, whether we recognize it or not, the endless giving, the endless generosity of the earth that meets our foot even after we've done the worst thing we've ever done. Suggesting that the earth is also the place of forgiveness. The earth certainly the place of keeping in touch. We're all in touch with each other secretly because we're all in touch with the earth. And so praise to the earth, gratitude to the earth. In the little bit I know about Dogara language, the Z in the middle of Azima, Z-I, means star. So when I sing the song, I'm always remembering that we're living on a star. In English, the word planet means wandering star. You hear it all over the planet now, people referring to the planet all the time, but rarely remembering that we live on a wandering star. Praise to that star, gratitude to that star, Azima. That's how I understand the song. So we use it to bring people together. Often, we use it to bring energy up from the earth. That old idea that the earth is sending energy up. In Spain, they call it duende, that dark energy from the center of the earth that is what pushes the plants and even the trees up, and it tries to enter us repeatedly. And sometimes you get lucky enough to find a song that makes it more possible to pull that energy and to feel that energy. Azima, you could say, is also a grounding song. It reconnects us to the earth, so it can be used as a centering, grounding process. You know how the modern world is. The world seems to go upside down all the time. The largest storms in recorded history, and all of the storms in politics and all of the ways in which the world has become conflicted and stuck in many, many ways. And people become separated and isolated. And so Azima, the idea of it, the sound of it, the feeling of it, is a way to center oneself and get back connected to the earth. And when we're connected to the earth, it's easier to become connected to other people and even become connected to the things that we came to do in this world. So Azima can be used very much for centering. And if you take the idea that there's a star in the middle of the song and you sing Azima and Z means star, and there's a star in the middle of a person. That is to say, we each have a speck of the original star inside us. Science even says that now. And so we can not only connect to the earth in a centering way, but actually the presence of that speck and spark of a star connects us to the inspiration that keeps the world going. It's centering, but also the center and the beginning are connected in mythology and often in songs. And so it can be a song for beginning again, getting grounded in oneself and from that ground to start over again or start something again. And on another level, it's a protection song, just the way the earth can be so protective to a person. Earth energy, like mother energy, like caring energy, like nurturing energy, is also a source of protection. And so when a person feels unprotected or vulnerable, just singing this song can bring us back into a place of self-protection and connection to the ongoing pulse of the energy of the earth. And the truth is, if a person is going into a threatening or dangerous situation, this is a good song to sing beforehand in order to give coherence to the psyche and grounding to the body and substance to the soul before entering a dangerous situation. And not only that, you can take a song like this and you can send it to anyone in the world. If there's someone that we know that's having trouble, all you do is think of them and sing the song to them, and the song can travel all the way to where they are and wrap them in protection. At least that's what the old people say. And me, I like that idea and I'm sticking with it. Azima wo e. Azima wo, Azima wo, Azima wo, Azima wo, Azima wo, Azima wo. Azima wo, Azima wo, Azima wo, Azima wo, Azima wo, Azima wo. Azima wo, Azima wo.
Azima wo. Azima wo, Azima wo.
you would like to support this podcast, spread the word, tell your friends, leave a review on iTunes, and make a donation on our new satellite website, livingmyth.org, where you'll find expanded podcast content, the full Mosaic store, and much more. To hear Michael Mead in person, visit our website for details and tickets about upcoming events in Seattle, Port Townsend, and Bellingham, Washington, later in the fall.